To start with, I want to briefly summarize the Torah portion. It is Ki Tisa, and it comes to us from Exodus 30, 11 through 34, 35. And just to quickly summarize the portion, it starts off talking about the offering of the Lord for the tabernacle, the laver for Aaron and his sons to wash their hands and feet before entering the tabernacle, the anointing oil, the perfume, the appointment of workmen, the Sabbath, the golden calf, renewal of the covenant, Moses asked to see God's glory, and the second tablets of stone. So then, of course, and it ends with Moses speaking to God and him having to put a veil on his face. So that's a very quick summary of the Torah portion. And I do that so that, you know, if there's something that in particular in there that interests you, that you may go back and search for it. If you didn't have a chance to read it, I pray that you do. Because as you can tell, just off that little list, there's quite a few things in there. A lot of things, actually. And so, as I thought about what is it that speaks to me as I was reading it, the story of a movie, and I don't know if any of you have seen it, it's Tinkerbell, came to mind. Anyone seen that movie? Okay, well, I'll just briefly summarize what the movie's about. It's about a little fairy named Tinkerbell. And Tinkerbell has a talent. She's a tinker fairy. Well, it comes out that all these fairies have a specific talent. The tinker fairy has, you know, the talent of tinkering. That's what she's good at. And the fairies that are for different objects of nature, they have all these different talents. Maybe one fairy is good with animals. So her talent is to go and talk to animals and make sure the animals are cared for and they're good. The other fairy, it's a water fairy, and her talent is to have little droplets of water and she can, you know, control the water. But Tinkerbell, who has the talent of being a tinker fairy, determines that I don't like my talent. I think my talent isn't as good as all these other fairies' talents. So she goes and tries to become one of the other fairies by trying to take her and learn their talent. Well, where that took me back to this Torah portion, it was interesting because when you look at chapter Exodus 31, 1 through 11, okay, I'll go ahead and read that. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding, and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works to gold, to work in gold and silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And I beheld, I have given him with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that were wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, and they that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the cloths of service, and the holy garments of Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded thee shall they do." How do they relate? Well, it sort of speaks to the fact that each person has their given talent that God places upon their hearts. And it was important for each person to know what their talent was, first of all, because he's telling the people here. And then second of all, to follow along with what their talent is. And where that brought me back to was, let's look at the incident of the golden calf. That's in this Torah portion. And it's in chapter 32. Let's read verse 1 through 5. It says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the gold earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people break off the earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a golden calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. You know, we read that, and it's kind of striking as to the level of which, you know, corruption went. And there's a lot of lessons to be learned there. I mean, it spoke to me in the fact that, number one, you know, this is what happens when a leader listens to the people. When the leader is called out to be for God, and Moses gave him a task, but the leader listens to the people and does what the people want, not necessarily what God wants. So that's one lesson. At least, you know, again, this is my opinion, and you're all welcome to challenge any of what I say, anything that anyone says. You know, go and search for yourself and challenge it. But again, my opinion is that that's a lesson we can learn from this section. The other thing was, going back to the talents, okay? Why did Aaron feel that he needed to fashion this golden calf himself? I mean, it kind of speaks to the fact that these other men had been called out, and they were wonderful at making, you know, making works of gold and of silver and of metal and of different things. Why did Aaron feel the need to fashion the golden calf himself? Could it be that Aaron thought to himself, well, my talent and what I'm meant to do is not as important as what some of these other folks need to do? So sort of, you know, shows us what happens when we are given a talent and we have a specific plan of our own, but we're not content to just go along with that plan. We want to do more. And perhaps we're not called to do more. You know, so this kind of shows what can happen when you try to do more than what you're called to do. And when you try to take over someone else's plan, or when you try to learn someone else's talent that hasn't been given to you. Okay, so, I mean, just a couple of things there that I got from it. So, example of what happens again, if a leader simply does what the people ask. I kind of want to change a little bit of the focus too, because another thing that I got from this was, in this Torah segment, as you know, we know, there's cycles that go into Torah. And you kind of see them play in over and over again. And they create this sort of thread that weaves, bobs and weaves, and comes up and, you know, goes back in the underlyings of the thread of the Torah. And in this segment, it does discuss, in my opinion, a precedent for the renewal of the covenant. Because what happens? Well, with the incident of the golden calf, of course, Moses is up. By the way, before I go there, it's interesting that at the beginning when they're making the golden calf, they're not talking about replacing God. They're saying, Moses went up and he's not here. Let's make a golden calf. You know, they're kind of lost, and they're trying to replace their leader with something else. You know, Moses had been the person that stood between them and God, and that person's gone. So they're saying, you know, right after they realize Moses is gone and they think he's dead, they start to build this plan. So just thought that was interesting to point out as well. But going back to the covenant, so Moses comes back down, he sees what they've done, and he breaks the tablets and realizes that the tablets are God's covenant, God's commandments. So what happens? We've kind of seen this story before. Man breaks the covenant. What happened at the garden? At the garden, God tells man, don't eat out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that commandment was broken. And when that commandment was broken, What happens? God goes to Adam and says, why'd you do it? And he says, look at Eve, she did it. It's not unlike what happens here when Moses goes to Aaron and says, why'd you do it, Aaron? And Aaron says, ooh, well, the people, they asked for this, and I just threw the gold in there, and out came this golden calf. Well, we read it. Out didn't come a golden calf. He fashioned it. You know, so it's just kind of interesting how the same story sort of plays out. You know, man breaks the covenant, and then what happens? They're naked, and God has to create a covering for them. In this case, they were naked again. Let's look at Let's look at 32, verse 21. It says, and Moses said to Aaron, what did these people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not that anger of thy Lord wax hot. You know the people, that they are set on mischief. They said to me, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said to them, whatsoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this golden calf. We just discussed that. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, that's the point I want to get to. He saw that the people were naked because the covering was gone. They had broken the covenant. It's the same thing, the same term used in the Garden of Eden when, you know, they take of the knowledge of the fruit of the tree. They realize they're naked. The covering's gone. So what does Moses do? He then says, okay, I realize that, you know, they're naked, and I have to go and try to make intercession for them. I have to try to make atonement for them. You know, it's similar to what God's plan was in the garden. When he realizes what's been done, he knows that they need a covering. Because if they don't have a covering, then he would consume them. And the same, so again, it just sort of goes back to the idea that the story sort of plays out like a formula. You know, man breaks the covenant. The covenant must being broken must be atoned for in order to have a renewed covenant. And that again is interesting because here in this Torah portion, it sets the precedent for covenant being broken, atonement made, renewal of the covenant. So I found that very interesting in this Torah portion. In addition to that, Moses had to go back and try to make atonement for the people, but it's interesting because, you know, what does the scripture say about God and the Torah? And he talks about, okay, he wrote it with his own fingers on the tablets, on the stones. Well, what do we see from this Torah portion? The tablets of stone can be broken by man. But then what does scripture say? God wants to come to the point where he's writing it on the flesh, on the hearts of our flesh. That's the eventual point that he wants to get to, where it can't be broken, where it's not a separate thing from us, that we have to look and study it. Instead of looking and studying it, it becomes part of us, intertwined within who we are, that we can be one with God. Isn't that so wonderful? That's what he wants. He wants our hearts to be hearts of flesh that he can write his Torah on with his very finger in our hearts. You know, and that day will come to pass. He said it would. I find that that's incredibly inspiring and wonderful. You know, that the corruption of man will no longer be able to touch his Torah and break it and, you know, manipulate it. And at the end of the Torah portion, we, you know, and I looked at that. I just basically saw it. Moses wears a veil to speak to the people because of his shining face, which comes from speaking with God. When he spoke with God, he would remove his veil. And I, you know, I try to think of what would that mean possibly, you know? Does it mean that God likes to speak to people face to face, but maybe because of our own sin, there has to be a veil there? You know, when the people came back and saw Moses and saw the shining face, they were afraid of him and demanded that he wear a veil because they couldn't be that close to such holiness, I guess, when his face was shining. So I didn't go too much into that, but I found that interesting as well. You know, so I just wanted to bring that up. And so in the end, what does God want from us? Number one, we all have a plan. We all have a talent. It's no little thing and no little coincidence. God places it there. And we have to be careful to nurture that talent and not to overlook that and tell ourselves it's not good enough. It is good enough for the plan that we each have, that we each have to travail in, that we each have to do. And in the end, we must be willing to protect his covenant, that the time will come when he will write his covenant in our hearts of flesh. Because what he desires is to be with us, to be one with us. You see that throughout Scripture. You see that he is interested in, you know, how many times did Moses say, well, I want to see your face, and God tells him, you can't see my face and live. You know, so he is concerned about us having life, and not just having life, but having life more abundantly. And not just having life more abundantly, but having life more abundantly with him. Praise be his name. So ends the Torah portion.